record this, it is December 8th of 2023. And last week, I took my 9-year-old son, Jay, to the Wiregrass Commons Mall in Dothan, Alabama. This was the mall that I went to as a teenager in the 1990s. And while I was there, kind of walking around, I had this just feeling of course, nostalgia. And I had definite thoughts about, hey, this is going to need to be my next nostalgia talk. So here we are. Unfortunately, the overwhelming feeling I had was sadness to kind of see what it had become. It's very much a ghost town now. I think like lots of malls that are kind of clinging to life across the country, its anchor stores are still there. I believe ours are JCPenney and Belk and Dillard's, I think. There's still a Bath and Body Works that seems to thrive in there, but everything else is pretty hit and miss. The food court is still pretty standard, but not as flourishing as it once was. Our Wiregrass Commons Mall has a giant carousel in it. That was sort of always its, you know, signature attraction. I feel like a lot of malls always had some sort of signature attraction. I know when I lived near the one in Montgomery, it was an ice skating rink in that one. And I've seen other malls have various attractions like that. And it just got me thinking, like, what was mall culture? What was it like? What was magical about it? Why was I so sad to see it basically gutted and, you know, nearly vacant during the holiday season nonetheless? I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, that would have been unthinkable. But yeah, what was it? What was I missing? So I kind of sat down and thought about it, put my thoughts on paper and just kind of marinated on it for several days. And I figured I'd start by talking about what the experience was like, because mall experience for kids of my generation, Generation X, is really split into two. You kind of have your 1980s mall experience, which is like you as a child going with your family to the mall, and then you have your more what I'm calling 1990s experience, which is you now have your own means of transportation. It's you as a teenager going to the mall with your friends. And starting with the 80s, you know, looking back on it, when you go with your family to the mall, it was an event. It was a family outing. You know, thinking back on my childhood, I can think of many times that we went to the mall. A lot of times it was around Christmas. And I mean, we really only went as a family a couple of times a year, but it was always an event. It was always something I remember. I can remember many of the items. You know, in my case, as you guys who have listened to Nostalgia Talk before know, I did a whole episode on KB Toy Store. So in my case, I can have a lot of these vivid memories of things from KB Toy Store that I purchased. And I have that memory of the trip, of the car ride, of the item, of the purchasing, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it got me thinking. I was like, I can vividly remember, you know, when my mom bought me the Storm Shadow G.I. Joe action figure. I remember what mall we were at. I remember the day. And I just don't know that any, you know, kid today will have a memory like that. Does anybody have a grand memory of the time their mom clicked buy or purchase on Amazon or eBay? Not really. It's not an event. It's not an outing. I remember my mom would take, I was one of three kids. My mom would take each one of us individually around Christmas time to go shopping so we could keep the gifts a secret. You know, she would take me and I'd buy for my brother, my sister, my dad. And then she'd take my brother and he'd buy, you know, so on and so forth. And I just really remember these trips. This was like a family thing. You know, it was a day with just me and my mom. We'd almost always go to eat at Arby's. Especially when I lived in North Carolina, I just remember going to Arby's on that trip, because we'd always go on a Tuesday, because at the Arby's in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Tuesday was half price day. Your entire meal was half price, so we'd go. And you know, these are just little details that I remember from, 30 years ago, and it's all built around mall culture, which sadly, is not there anymore. You know, again, you don't really build memories about putting an item in an online cart and then clicking purchase. I mean, heck yeah, it's convenient. I use it all the time. I'm not above it. But it just, you know, we lost something. And that made me a little sad. And then, like I said, you kind of move into what I'm calling the 90s, and you become a teenager, and now the mall becomes not just some stores and not just sort of a family outing, but it becomes very much a part of your social scene. It's you and your friends going there. And when I mentioned I was going to record this, I mentioned I was going to record it on X or Twitter the other day, and one of my followers, Real Stuntman John, said you could spend like 6 to 8 hours at the mall, not bothering anybody, have $20 in your pocket, and feel like the richest guy on the planet. I thought, that's pretty accurate. So yeah, in the 90s, what I'm calling the 90s, you know, your age may vary, but your teenage years. It's a social setting. You go there with your friends. It's not so much about you're after this item or that item. It's just really about hanging out with your friends all day. And there's definitely something magical about going to the mall, going to a shop, and seeing this item that you've never seen before, you didn't know existed. You know, maybe, like I said, going back to my KB experience, maybe I go in there and I see a new G.I. Joe toy or a vehicle that I didn't even know existed or I hadn't seen out in the wild before in my life, and it's very exciting. And, you know, you get a little bit of that now with modern social media. Somebody will post maybe there's a new toy or a new shirt or a new hat or something neat like that. And you see that and you get that little kind of quick, exciting, maybe dopamine hit. But it's not quite the same as when you see it in the store. You know, you go to EB Games and you see that video game on the shelf and you go, oh, wow, you know, that's really cool. It's just something special about seeing it in real life. It's just, yeah, just kind of magical. But yeah, like I said, you go there in your teenage years and it's this very social setting. You know, you kind of, maybe, you know, if you're with the guys, you know, you kind of hope maybe we'll run into some of the girls, you know. It's always that, oh, we're going to go see some girls, you know. It's always that silly, you know, spoiler alert, 9 times out of 10, you didn't see any girls. And it was just you and the guys being goofballs. You know, I can't speak for the ladies because I wasn't one, but I imagine it was similar. So, yeah, it becomes a very big, big social thing in your teenage years. And then malls were still thriving when I went to college. I went to the mall in Auburn, Alabama, and that was a pretty regular rotation. But that was usually just for, you know, a little bit of fun and usually to hit up the food court for a lunch or a dinner. Then comes my first duty assignment. I went to Pope Air Force Base, North Carolina. That's in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I still distinctly remember when I went out there before my wife. It was just me and my wife at the time. And I got out there several weeks, a couple months actually, before she could join me. She was still finishing up her master's degree at Auburn. And so I went and got us an apartment. And I was really excited that the apartment was really close to the mall. Like, we were very, very close to the mall. And I thought, oh, that's a really big thing. And at the time, it kind of was. You know, it was a very big plus. And then my second assignment, I went to Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery. And I actually did some moonlighting at the movie theater that was in the mall. I was a projectionist during college. And then one of my friends that worked at the theater in college ended up being the manager of the one in Montgomery. And she hired me to build and preview movies. So that was a lot of fun. And once again, the place where we lived, the little townhouse, was very close to the mall. Like, picking where I lived and its proximity to the mall was that important. You know, and I wonder if, like, someone in their 20s right now, someone who's born post 2000, you know, would even occur to them, you know, even be on their radar. I doubt it. You know, as the years go by and mall life still flourished for a while, but then, you know, really, I think with the rise of Amazon especially, just kind of really started slowing those kind of things down. And that, of course, got me thinking about, you know, what were the big draws? What were some of my favorite stores? And like I said, if you've listened to Nostalgia Talk before, you'll know KB Toys was high on that list. I still remember, of course, EB Games. I would definitely throw in Spencer's Gifts and Suncoast for like CDs and DVDs, your media store. And again, I'm just kind of popping in from memory here. I still remember like Kirkland's, which was more of a home furnishing store, but they always had sort of interesting things. I bought a couple pieces of furniture from a Kirkland's when I was in college. Of course, if your mall was cool, it might have an arcade in it. There was an Aladdin's Castle at the mall in Auburn, which Longbox Crusade member Delvin the Dark Web Williams actually worked at for a while. Yeah, those would be the major one. I would definitely be looking for KB's, EB's. Oh, and of course, Walden Books. And, you know, again, the food court's always a big draw. And it's funny, when I started thinking about food courts, my natural instinct, and maybe a lot of listeners as well, is to think about Sparrow, the pizza place, or Orange Julius. And I'm like, why do those stand out? And then it kind of occurred to me, I don't think I've ever seen a Sparrow or an Orange Julius outside of a mall. I mean, they may exist somewhere, but I don't think I've ever seen one that wasn't in a mall. I feel like they were sort of mall staples. And then that would kind of roll into Cinnabon. I think Cinnabon became a staple more in the later half of mall life, in my opinion. It might have been earlier in other places. And the Great American Cookie Company. In fact, we still have one in the Wiregrass Commons Mall. And when I took my son for the Santa Claus picks earlier this month, I hit up the Great American Cookie Company while I was there and bought some cookies for him and me. So, you know, at least that's still there. The other thing about malls that I remembered is, you know, not only were they sort of that social setting for your teenage years and sort of that family event for your pre-teenage years, but I think another thing that might get lost to time is how much they were involved in, like, events. And by that I mean, like, mini concerts. And some malls would even have, like, little conventions. Like, our local Wiregrass Commons Mall has had like a comic book convention in it before, sort of a mini Comic-Con. And again, you know, concerts, my older son, who's in choir and that kind of thing, has performed there before. And it got so big in the 80s especially that you had recording artists like Tiffany and Debbie Gibson were sort of birthed from that mall culture. They were doing mall concerts. It just sort of got bigger and bigger renown and popularity. And next thing you know, they have these big pop music careers, and it's really all born out of those mall tours and mall culture. It was a very significant part of our lives. Unfortunately, you know, now it's fading. I gotta tell you, if I had that Elon Musk money or that Jeff Bezos money or whatever, I would actually you don't even have to build it. All the infrastructure's out there. But somewhere, you know, in a nice central location with a good foot traffic, I would take an old dilapidated or dwindling mall and I would make it an absolute time capsule. Like, I would purchase it, and then I don't know about the legal rights for all this, though, but I would do my best to put in that mall a KB, an Orange Julius, a Sparrow, an EB. You know, and I know a lot of these businesses aren't in business anymore, but at least, like, find a way to, like, license the name of that business and just kind of make it as much like a nostalgia timepiece when you walk in as possible. Because I think people would be kind of interested in that. Like, I think that would be the new draw, would be, what was it like? You know, it's like going in a time capsule. I think that business model could work if done just right, you know, and if it was successful in one place, maybe they can make a few of them around the country. It'd be like borderline theme parkish. But I think that would be neat. And I know I would take part of it. And I know plenty of the older Gen X people like myself would probably be excited to do that. Maybe share that experience with their kids. And I think the kids might have fun. Because it's just neat to look and see, you know, what's out there. What stores appeal to you? You know, what can I see? What can I smell? What can I touch? It's all right there. You know, I just think that'd be a lot of fun. But yeah, those are my overall thoughts on mall culture. It just made me sad the other day to see it kind of reduced to what it was kind of never meant to be, really. You know, it's just empty now, and that made me sad. But what makes me happy is the memories. And unfortunately, that circles around to a little bit sad, because, like I said, with sort of this online shopping model that almost everyone uses now, there's a whole generation that won't really have those memories, the sort of the socialization, just the fun aspect, the family event feel. of going, and that makes me sad. But of course, you can still get that going to Walmart or Target, and some people still do that, and that's cool. Maybe society has found a good balance. You know, a lot of people look back at mall culture of the 80s and say, oh, it's consumerism and greed and at its best, and there may be a nugget of truth in that, but man, if it didn't, you know, when I look back, I don't think about any of those things. I think about the time I went Christmas shopping with my mom, or the time the whole family went, or shoot, when you had visitors from out of town, or your family came down for the holidays, it was pretty common for everybody to just grab their jackets and coats and hats and pile into a van, and, you know, it was just something to do, go to the mall, and I like that. I like those memories, and I'm glad I have them. And that's why I do Nostalgia Talk, just to kind of capture these things and put them in audio format, stick it on the internet, so maybe we don't forget. Sounds silly to get somewhat emotional over a building that had a bunch of stores in it, but it was really just a place to go. It was a social setting, and I have nothing but good memories around it. You know whose memories I'd be interested in hearing from is you guys. If you have thoughts on maybe some of your favorite stores or maybe some significant events that happened to you around your mall days, I'd love to hear them. Feel free to reach out to us. We are at Long Box Crusade and just about anywhere you could look, X and Facebook and Instagram, and of course on YouTube. You can put comments right there on the YouTubes. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to reach out to me personally, I am Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist, and I can be found at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, X, Facebook, Instagram. You can check out my artwares at www.theyardsaleartist.com. And again, I would love to hear sort of how mall life impacted you. Favorite stores, favorite places in the food court, things you discovered. Maybe you found one of the greatest toys of your life, or video game, or shirts, or hats, or whatever. I would like to know about it. So definitely reach out and let us know. And I, of course, encourage you to check out all the shows under the Long Box Crusade umbrella. You can tune your favorite podcatcher to Long Box Crusade. Chances are you're listening to it there now. Or, of course, we are Long Box Crusade on YouTube as well, where we put a lot of the content that we have on our podcast network. So definitely check out all the shows under the Long Box Crusade umbrella. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to the next time that we take a trip down memory lane together.
This episode features the copyright-free music track Snowfall by Scott Buckley.